fighting for our lives here in the city of Benton Harbor. We have had 5 murders. Not one has been investigated. We had a young man with his penis cut off. The prosecuting office, the sheriff department, and everybody else said it's no foul play. We had a young man weighed down with weights in the water, in the river. The sheriff department said no foul play. Another young man looked like he was beaten and thrown into the river. The prosecutor office says no foul play. One other man was found in the water. Once again, it's no foul play. Kenny Penning was drugged with a substance called Molly. They call it the date drug or something. The young man was found in the snow. No foul play. The police officer who investigated it is the friend of the people. Is a friend of the people who put the Molly in his drink. Once again, no foul play. We went out and recalled the mayor here. Got more than enough signatures. They sent the police department out to investigate the signatures. Don't that just beat all? They sent the police department out to investigate signatures and trying to force people to say that they did not sign the petition. But yet and still, when people are murdered, when people are beaten, when people are thrown into the river, they don't investigate. It's open season for black folks. They are sending a message to each and every one of us that your life is not dying. Until we wake up and start fighting back, we will continue to be in this same compromising position. We are in trouble. We are in big trouble. And we're going to continue to be in trouble until somebody out here take a stand and say no more. They're targeting people. Targeting people, trying to control your mind. They're doing everything to you, and yet and still you won't stand up and fight. When will you say enough is enough? When will you say that we're not going to take this crap no more? When will you say that we're going to take this thing to a whole different level? It's that time. It's time to either put up or shut up. There is no in-between. There is no in-between. On that note, let's do a little Martin Luther King. Maybe that will stimulate your mind, make you want to get up and fight.
Wanted to know what he could do to be saved. Jesus didn't get bogged down on the kind of isolated approach of what you shouldn't do. Jesus didn't say, now, Nicodemus, you must stop lying. He didn't say, Nicodemus, now you must not commit adultery. He didn't say, now, Nicodemus, you must stop cheating. close by saying today that we have a task, and let us go out with a divine dissatisfaction. Let us be dissatisfied until America will no longer have a high blood pressure of creeds and an anemia of deeds. Let us be dissatisfied until the tragic walls that separate the outer city of wealth and comfort from the inner city of poverty and despair shall be crushed by the battering rams of the forces of justice. Let us be dissatisfied until we live on the outskirts of hope, brought into the metropolis of daily security. Let us be dissatisfied until slums are cast into the junk heaps of history, and every family will live in a decent sanitary home. Let us be dissatisfied until the dark yesterdays of segregated schools will be transformed into bright tomorrows of quality integrated education. Let us be dissatisfied until integration is not seen as a problem, but as an opportunity to participate in the beauty of diversity. Let us be dissatisfied until men and women, however black they may be, will be judged on the basis of the content of that character, not on the basis of the color of that skin. Let us be dissatisfied. Let us be dissatisfied until every state capital be housed by a governor who will do justly, who will love mercy, and who will walk humbly with his God. Let us be dissatisfied until from every city hall justice will roll down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. Let us be dissatisfied till that day when the lion and the lamb shall lie down together. Every man will sit under his own vine and fig tree, and none shall be afraid. Let us be dissatisfied. Men will recognize that out of one blood God made all men to dwell upon the face of the earth. Let us be dissatisfied until that day when nobody will shout white power, when nobody will shout black power, but everybody will talk about God's power, human power.
You are listening to the Pinckney to Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, we are in a real live fight. We're at war. The problem is that we have so many people who are not fighting this war. Here in Benton Harbor, Michigan, four bodies in the water, one body in the snow. No investigation. Signatures to recall the mayor. The whole sheriff department is out investigating them. I see a problem with that picture. On that note, I got to bring in my good friend from Louisiana, sugarcane picking, my girl, Belinda Brown. Belinda Brown, are you there?
Yes, Pastor Pinckney.
Belinda Brown, are you there?
Yes, I am, and I'm going to tell you, it is an honor to be on your show today. Ooh. I don't know about no sugar cane picking, though.
Well, believe me, I understand, girl. My dad used to bring sugar canes from Louisiana.
Well,
he was from Baton Rouge.
I like to eat it, but I sure can't pick it.
Well, I know that your hands is not made in condition for picking those sugar canes. But I tell you, they was good, though. I used to love me some sugar cane.
Yes, indeed. It's good. I'll save you some for when you're coming down here.
Oh, I know. Hey, did they ever tell you about what happened to Bulldog here?
That guy who they found
in the water, they say his penis was cut off.
Oh, my God.
The sheriff's department.
What you say?
The sheriff's department said no foul play, though. No foul play,
oh,
he said. No foul play.
That sounds like a hate crime. That sounds like a hate crime to me, Pastor Pickney.
Right.
Needs to be investigated.
Well, we got, you know, it's hard to get them to investigate stuff around here because they still burning crosses and hanging nooses. And nobody seems to care.
I'm going to tell you right now, somebody know about what happened if something like that happened to somebody. Somebody knows something. So
well,
it
he was
has
last
to
seen
be
by
it.
Two white cops from St.
Wow.
Joe. And they had it on videotape, and they found him 40 feet from where they last talked to these white cops.
Wow.
No investigation.
Wow, that is, I'm going to tell you right now, that is a hate crime.
Yeah.
And somebody needs to, I mean, you guys, I know you're doing a great job there in Benton Harbor, Michigan, Pastor Pickney, rallying the people and organizing the people to come together, but I'm going to tell you right now, that's probably not the first time something like that have happened, but I guarantee you, you know, it should not go uninvestigated. It should
mm-hmm.
not, you know, just be something that the norm that everybody should just be silent about. I'm telling you, Pastor Pickney, you've got to make some noise about that. That needs to be advertised, and whoever did that need to be prosecuted to the fullest of the law.
You are absolutely correct. But listen, we ain't had enough about Ben Harbor. Let's talk about Louisiana. Talk to me about it.
I'm sad to hear that all those things, but I know, Pastor Pickney, that you are moving and shaking things there in Benton Harbor, Michigan, all across the state of Michigan, because, you know, your name is ringing like a bell even down here in Louisiana. So
all
I just
right,
want you to know
right.
that.
That's what I'm talking
you know,
about.
Yes, we're looking forward to you coming down here to stand with us and rally on behalf of some of the outrageous horror stories that's taking place here in the state of Louisiana. I know this story right here made national news, Pastor Pickney. You know, we got quite a few stories right now in the national news spotlight. One of the big things that's going on here since Katrina was I'm going to say it was the manslaughter or the outright racist, Klan, malicious act that took place during Katrina when they shot this man down in cold-blooded murder, and then they turned around and burnt him up in a car and cut his head off, Pastor Pickney, so that they could not find out. And I'm talking about the Glover case. And,
yeah.
and it get worse than that, Pastor Pickney. After they did all of this and went to trial and was found guilty of these malicious acts, these demonized acts that took place, they were found guilty. Do you know they came back and appealed it, and the judge let them go? The
wow.
judge let the police officer that admitted on the witness stand that he shot and killed this man, they let him go, and then they turned around and let the people that covered it up,
wow.
that covered up the whole thing, they lied and fabricated and concocted and falsified documents and everything, and the judge have now let these people go and then turned around and gave them their job back.
Wow.
Working in the police department, the NOPD, so that they can do the same thing over again.
Wow, it looks like it's open season on black folks, huh?
Yes, indeed, Pastor Pickney, and it's worse than that because I'm here to tell you, you know, we still have dead bodies coming up. We had a 14-year-old boy that was shot. You know, I know the Trayvon Martin story made national news, but we got stories down here worse than that, Pastor Pickney. I'm not trying to make a comparison or anything, but these people down here, when you say open season, I'm talking about red hot open season down here. And the sad thing about it is that we don't have any help. That's why I'm begging you to come down here. You know, the people is outraged. The people are crying out for help. They, you know, we cannot even get national news on a lot of our stories, you know, because the family members are so distraught. They, I mean, people are just towed up from the floor up. The crime rate is high down here, Pastor Pinckney, and all they doing is saying happy Mardi Gras.
That's right. And they, what they said, don't mess with my Mardi Gras.
Right, and then right now I'm going to tell you, we got Fat Tuesday coming up, and I'm boycotting the Mardi Gras, Pastor Pinckney. You know, I have, you know, some people standing with us to boycott the Mardi Gras because, you know, we cannot celebrate when people are hurting and suffering by this type of outrageous, malicious act that's been taking place, especially when we got police officers walking off the force because a lot of them know about the corruption and stuff that's going on down here.
Wow, that's amazing. You're doing the right thing. The first thing y'all should do, you set up a boycott of the Mardi Gras. Let them know that, because that's one of their biggest money makers.
You're
absolutely
right,
Belinda.
They make billions of dollars in Mardi Gras, Pastor Pinckney. And I'm going to tell you, they're not even giving account for all the money that they make. And the sad thing about it is that we still got people that have not returned back home since Katrina. They can't get their homes back, and people are still losing their homes. We got people sleeping up under the bridges down here because they can't afford to pay the taxes, and they cannot afford to pay the insurance that, you know, after Katrina, everything just skyrocketed.
Wow, just
so
a new form
of gentrification. It's worse than a genocide down here. It's worse than a genocide, Pastor Pinckney. And our governor, you know, Governor Gender, I'm here to tell you, Pastor Pinckney, I ain't never seen nothing like it, but this man, I mean, he is ruthless and he is cold-blooded. I ain't never seen nobody that has such a cold heart as this man, because anytime they still got a coffin with millions and billions of dollars that will sit down here to help the people doing Katrina, they have not done nothing with that money, and people are still crying, you know, to come back home, to be able to afford to live in their homes, because they cannot afford to get their homes and stuff remodeled, rehabbed and fixed up so that they can move back in them, and they still started putting people out, Pastor Pinckney.
Wow, that's really something. I know when I was there last time, we went down there, and it's still a mess. It's still a mess.
Still
all
a mess.
These
and
years.
Let me tell you, Pastor Pinckney, I got to tell you this: the people that had received monies, they call it the roll home. You can look it up. Roll homes monies was supposed to been given to people that lost their homes or their homes was flooded during Katrina to repair. And I'm telling you, the money that they gave to the people, all the black people, listen, the black people have to pay the money back. And since they can't pay the money back, they're bringing, prosecuting these people, threatening these people to put them in jail and everything because they cannot afford to pay this money back that they were supposed to use to repair their homes. But it got so bad because they didn't give them enough money in the first place, so they could not even continue the repair. So some of the people are still living in dilapidated houses that is halfway incomplete for the repairs, and now what they're trying to do is either take the people's homes away or make them pay the money back because they couldn't complete the condition of their homes.
Wow, Belinda, that sounds terrible.
Yes,
I mean,
and we're fighting on that right now. We're fighting all the way up to Washington, D.C. Our congressmen and everything is fighting Pastor Pinckney because they got their foot on these people's neck down here. And I'm here to tell you, nobody, it's sad. We need you to come down here. We need you to come and make as much noise as possible because, Pastor Pinckney, it is so sad how people are suffering. And I'm here to tell you, Louisiana have more people incarcerated per capita than anywhere else in the world. And I really feel that this is the genocide that's taking place, because if they're not shooting them down in cold-blooded murder, and if they're not, you know, causing them to be, you know, handicapped by all means necessary, they're putting them and sticking them in these godforsaken hellhole jails and prisons down here and treating them them worse than animals, Pastor Pinckney. It's crimes against humanity that's taking place, and it's real.
Wow. That's you know, when you think about it, I mean, it's some, and it's like, you know, it sounds like, I think Benton Harbor's bad, but it sounds like it's worse there in Louisiana than it is in Benton Harbor.
Yes, indeed, Pastor Pinckney. People are being beat up. They're being raped. They're being murdered and everything else in these godforsaken hellhole prisons and jails, you know. And you know, here in Louisiana, you know, it's hot down here. You know, there's times when the people are in these prisons and they're being deprived of all of their civil rights, all of their constitutional rights. They got these people living up under conditions that is unlivable. And it's, you know, family members are victims of this, as well as the people that are incarcerated. They make the whole family become victims of this kind of treatment because people are suffering and crying out for help.
Man, oh man, I tell you, that's really, really amazing when you think about it. But I know you down there court watching and doing all these other things, trying to make this thing right. And I really appreciate you out there fighting, standing up for what's right, because to me that's crucial. Somebody has to do it. We need more people out here standing up fighting this corrupt government that we have. I mean, it doesn't make sense to me to allow these people to continue to do the things they do, and we do nothing. We don't do nothing.
Right,
we're not
Pastor
even planning a future for our children anymore, Belinda. And,
you
and
know,
we
with
need
your
to start
advice,
to make sure they have a future. Because the way it's going right now, they don't care nothing about us. And they talking about they want to have a buyback gun thing. I want to sell some guns or something to these people, get them moving. Cause I tell you, this is too much for me. I mean, I'm really fed up with it, Belinda. I'm fed up with the way
well,
people are being
Pinckney,
treated.
Well, I'm gonna tell you with your advice. One of the things that we have been doing court watching, you know, we have identified that the real criminals is the ones that's running the judicial system, Pastor Pinckney. They are the real criminals. I'm here to tell you, we have caught these people falsifying documents, you know, concocting, you know, witnesses, you know, fraud and framing people, you know, fabricating police reports, lying on the witness stand. Pastor Pinckney, I'm telling you, it is outrageous with some of the stuff. And because, you know, Louisiana is so outdated with electronic filing, they take the clerk of courts, they change the records. I'm telling you, Pastor Pinckney, this stuff is taking place as I speak. They're changing documents, court records, you know, for whatever they just making up their own laws down here, doing whatever they want to do.
Wow. Well, you know what? Hey, I tell you, Belinda, you got to start with this court system, and you need a lot of people in there. See, that's one of the things that really gets people moving. You got to have the people to make them stand up. And also, you know, it's not just a bad idea. It's a great idea to go in there and sit in them courtrooms, but you got to have somebody in all the courtrooms. That's one of my pitfalls. I don't have people in every courtroom, and I can't be in every courtroom. And I think that kind of hurt us a little bit, because if I'm in there, they're going to do right. But if I'm not in there, they're going to do it's business as usual. So, you know, we got to continue this fight. But listen, Belinda, you got about 2 minutes to say whatever you want, and I got to bring in my good friend Dr. Short. But you go right ahead and tell us what you want us to know.
Well, this is what I want you to know, Pastor Pinckney, that the people down here, they're ready. They are ready, and that's one of the good things that, you know, I you know, with your advice and the things that you have been, you know, educating me and training me and telling me to do, I have been really organizing and mobilizing the people. They're joining up with us down here. You know, we got over 1,600 members across the state of Louisiana, you know, counting 64 parishes that we have here. And the people are tired, Pastor Pinckney. You know, those are your words. You know, sooner or later, people are going to get tired of this kind of treatment. They have had enough. And the people have been signing up and joining up with us across the state of Louisiana. And we're organizing a mass demonstration on the Capitol in Baton Rouge in the month of October. That is the month before, you know, our government election that's coming up in November of 2014, Pastor Pinckney. And we're going to put our demands on them. And I just want people from all over the world to come and stand with us. We're going to talk about the high incarceration, here in Louisiana. We're going to talk about the fact that they're multi-building people and giving nonviolent offenders life, you know, anywhere from 25 years to life in prison. We're going to talk about the fact that, you know, we have had enough. You know, we're not going to be treated this way anymore, Pastor Pinckney, and we're going to make as much noise. That's the reason why we need y'all to come down here and stand with us. And I believe, Pastor Pinckney, that we can be a model and a sign for the whole world to see what will happen when people stand up and unite and fight against this kind of injustice that's been taking place.
Absolutely, Belinda. You know, and the cry should be now is letting people know that you're at war. You see, that's where you're at. You're at war. This is not a conflict. This is the real deal. Belinda, hey, I really appreciate you. And listen, we're going to get a chance to talk soon. And let's see what happens.
Pastor Pinckney, I want you to get in touch with Danny because I haven't heard from them yet. They got to come. I need a date because people ready to come on and organize committees and stuff so that we can have a good turnout when he get here. Because we want standing room only, wall to wall.
Right.
No, I mean, we want to lock the doors and let the fire marshal come in to shut us down because that's how many people we want to be there.
Well, you know what? Call me on Tuesday, and then I'll send him an email and see if he's available, see can I talk to him and set up a three-way with me, you, and him.
Okay, great. All right, Pastor.
All right, don't forget to call me,
thank you so much.
All right,
Belinda, I will.
Thank you. You have
okay,
a beautiful
now.
Day. God bless you. And hang in. Don't leave us right now.
Okay, I'm going to be right here.
All right, my good friend Dr. Short from Washington, D.C., the capital of the United States. Unfortunately, we're at war. Dr. Short, are you there?
Yes, Reverend Pinckney, can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Wonderful. Reverend Pinckney, you know, a lot of things are happening, but you know people are fighting back. I want to announce to you and to the world that the friends of Kwame Ture, a.k.a. Stokely Carmichael, are now presently fighting to prevent a book being published by Skip Gates and crew that will denigrate one of our new and our greatest leaders. In fact, he's still new because we just lost him a short period ago. Can you believe that someone wants to call Stokely Carmichael a chocolate Fred Astaire? And there's a book forthcoming. I want to tell everybody, don't buy it. Don't participate in it. It's a book that makes him out to be a woman abuser and a liar and a fraud. And it's designed to justify this Obama government. This is the agenda of Skip Gates, the guy with the leg, with one leg shorter than the other up at Harvard.
Man, so the black guy. I know you're talking about the one that
all of us
had attacked him and somebody sat down and had a beer at the White House.
Yes. He is the one who wants everyone to think that Barack Hussein Obama, this Kenyan-American traducer, is the summation of all of our struggles as a people. That is his role. And this book called Stokely, A Life, Nobody Should Buy It. And it's probably going to be blocked. Now, having said that, Reverend Pinckney, I want to give you good news. The young woman, Delima Palmer, the woman who was beaten by the police at Ocean City, she was able to successfully appeal, so she didn't have to go to jail Friday.
Great news.
We will be organizing still around that. Secondly, I wanted to bring to your sister's attention, the one that just spoke, Belinda, need to be in touch with her because I need to put her with Paul, and we need to see how we can put some UN action on what's happening in Louisiana. That's one area where they have not tried. Paul and them were successful in preventing the Olympics from coming to Chicago. I'm certain that they can do something about blocking Mardi Gras next year. We need to start thinking about these people, where they live, and at their bottom line. The other thing I want to mention to Belinda, if she's listening, African-American people all over the country are being victimized by Southwest Asians. They're at our school stealing them blind, the HBCUs, and we give them a color pass, and it's stupid, and we're paying for it. Jindal needs to be called out as a racist. Yeah, I didn't hear her call him racist once. She kept saying he had a bad heart. Had it been a white man, he would have been called a name. The Republicans put him in to punish African-American people. And we're going to have to grow up. And I don't care what you look like. If you're a black neck, I'm against you. If you're an Asian and you're against my people, I'm against you. I don't care what you look like. If you're not for justice and fairness, I'm going to fight you. And my suggestion, please give Belinda my number. I need to find a way to hook her up with the people over in India who are used to dealing with what Jindal is. Jindal is a Brahmin, you know, the oppressive Hindus that have been killing and abusing black folks for 4,000 years. And I feel sorry that our people don't study, that we don't research. We look at a person and we don't find out where they're coming from. We just look at them and say, he's a man. The man comes from somewhere. He may call himself a Christian, but if he still has a Hindu mindset where there are subhuman people, which are black, that's his culture. He's supposed to treat the people in Louisiana that are black like this. Folks need to start dealing with this because I'm looking at Howard, I'm looking at certain cities. They put these people in, they steal them blind. They were at Xavier stealing it blind. They were at Morris Brown stealing it blind. But they got a pass. And it's a black neck in us that allows us to say, as long as you're not white, you're okay. What about the good white folks like Lynn Stewart? Think about
talk to
it.
Me.
We've got to be more sophisticated. What about the folks like Ken Rhodes, who helped me when nobody else would?
That's right.
When nobody else did. All right. What about the John Browns? What about the Matilla Miners? What about the people who are in coalition with us for justice? We should be looking at a person's character, their actions, and also how they treat us all, not just what they look like. And I've been waiting to see the people down in Louisiana realize and say, hey, wait a minute, how do people that look like us get treated in India? If they found out that you have thousands of lynchings every year in India, if you look a certain way, there are revolutions going on in India where the dark-skinned people are being killed by the government. Why wouldn't he do it here? So we need to start thinking both locally and globally. We're going to fight down in Louisiana. We're going to fight everywhere else, but we've got to understand if they put someone from another country, another culture, doesn't mean that the struggle's over. It just means they've moved the goalpost.
Absolutely.
They put all these foreign people in the government.
And Dr. Short, here's what I'm thinking. What I want to do now, I want to go across the country dealing with these pastors across the country. I want to, because they're really part of the problem in our communities.
They are the problem.
Along with the NAACP and things like that. What I want to do, I want to start getting folks together and start really calling these preachers out. And whether they like it or not, they're part of the problem. Until they get their act together and start doing what needs to be done, we should set up something because it's no longer God's house if you're not out here doing godly things. So we can't classify a church as God's house if the place is contaminated. And the pastor is not doing what he's supposed to do, he has contaminated the whole church.
That's true, but let's remember, they say that they're affiliated with Jesus. The only place that Jesus kicked some butt was up in church.
That's
in
right.
In the synagogue.
That's
where the thieves, whores, crooks, and robbers are. Reverend Pinckney, I'm going to say this on the air. I'm going to hold you to it, Reverend Pinckney. It's time for a new spiritual movement. Why don't you lead it? Why don't you organize a confessing freedom and justice denomination of the air? Conference calls, use this radio for people who are believers, who like myself. And you know, I wasn't trying to go to church today. I've been on boycott, and I'm going to keep my 10%. By the way, you know, tithes aren't even in the New Testament, but you know, that's so the preachers are even stealing people's money. You're not a Levite. You can't collect a tithe. Jesus, read the whole New Testament. Did Jesus ever collect a tithe? He's the Son of God, didn't get a tithe. Think about it.
Yeah,
the
but you know, don't go there with them ties, because that'll open up a whole different can of worms.
Well, no, they defraud the people. They lie to the people. In fact, the ties, if we go right back to the Acts of the Apostles, Ananias and Sapphira got killed not for giving less than 10%. They dropped dead for not giving 100%, because the original church, everybody pulled their stuff together after they took care of their basic needs. Mm. So, I mean, if they're going to talk about giving something, when was the last time you saw a pastor driving a Volkswagen when all the other people in their church can't afford to take the bus?
Talk
there's supposed to be a collective sharing of the finances long before there was some Karl Marx or Engels or Frantz Fanon or Nkrumah. We're supposed to be sharing. There shouldn't be any hunger, even if the economy's down. If we share proportionately to what we need it, that's what's in the book, and those devils won't teach it because they're the biggest plantation holders. They're worse than the white people that held us down. I mean, I tell you, if I see a preacher, I could punch him in his face, and I studied to be one. It makes me so angry that they won't stand up for our people. They collect money. They tax them and tell them they won't go to heaven if they don't give them money, and yet they don't back the people up. That's something for nothing. That's a fraud.
Absolutely, absolutely. Listen, Dr. Short, you got about 90 seconds to say whatever you want. I'm going to make sure I get Belinda your number, and I want you to call me later on and give me Paul and them. I need to talk with him because we having this mass demonstration May 24th here in the city of Benton Harbor, and we want to do something. We want to shut down this PGA and Whirlpool, so we're going to do something. But listen, you got 90 seconds. Say whatever you want, then I want to bring in my good friend Edward.
I'm going to take my 90 seconds. Reverend Pinckney got a call from Illinois. Somebody wants me to pastor a church here. I don't know what, when, where, why, but you know, if I get it, I'm going to raise some hell. I mean, Martin Luther King, he's nice. I'm angry than he is. You know what I'm saying? So just maybe we'll have one beacon of light to raise some hell in D.C. I felt good walking the courts like you did. I could do that every day.
Oh,
okay,
absolutely.
I'm out.
All right, my brother. Listen, let's talk soon. Let's keep this thing rolling, and let's see where we at.
All right.
My good friend Edward, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend Pinckney.
How you doing today?
Doing great, Howard. I hear, whoa, this, you know, it's kind of overwhelming, the amount of suppression that is being heaped on the people. If people would really understand the history of this country, they would know that we are citizen slaves. The word citizen is in two parts. It means one that is owned. And even the word attorney comes from France, and it means one who deceives. And yes, the courts are one with the government. The banks, the courts, and the government are all one. And the corruption is in the courts. There's no question about it. There is no real justice in. It's quite overwhelming. It depresses me sometimes when I think about what we're really dealing with. And I deal with some, you know, I've studied law and I've studied medicine for many years now. When I look at how the people are sick everywhere, it is just an atrocity. And they're kept ignorant about law and health. They don't study it. They don't take it into their own hands to educate themselves when it comes to the law and when it comes to their own health. And these are the two areas that a two-legged needs to focus on in order to have any chance of taking care of themselves and their loved ones. If you leave it up to the liars, they pronounce it in the UK, the lawyers are pronounced liars, you walk into court and you get a lawyer, and that just signifies that you are incompetent when it comes to the law. It's the same with the medical institutions. I hear people telling me, "Oh, I can't get to see the doctors, or they're not giving me a medical treatment." Well, the truth is you don't want their medical treatment. They're not educated properly. They're educated in a cut-and-poison system set up by the Rockefellers. And John D. Rockefeller, who used his money with Andrew Carnegie's money to set up the AMA and locked out all of the homeopathic doctors and naturopathic doctors. But you see, John D. Rockefeller would only use homeopathic medicine and naturopathic doctors. He would never use the cut-and-poison doctors that he set up in these medical systems right now to literally, you know, eradicate the people. They're culling the entire society. They want to get rid of 90% of the people on this planet. They don't have any use for us, the few at the top, the bloodlines at the top that are above the law. These people are they're above the 1%. I mean, they're the top wealthiest people on the planet, and they make the laws, and they stand above the laws. And there is a lot going on because more and more of it is being brought out, and more of it is being known by the people. But I was just looking at another situation where they have paid people that go on blogs to upset whatever it is that they're talking about. As soon as they get on a target or something that is where they're making headway, they get on there and they start using racial profanity, and they start, you know, making you hear all these slurs on there. And these are paid government employees that are called trolls, and they get on there and they disrupt everything good when people come together and try to make things happen. They want to disrupt the whole thing. All I can say is people really need to wake up sooner than later. It will be too late later on, and things are drawing even closer to a financial disruption in this country where there won't be any finances at all, where they shut down the entire economic system. And that's what they've been planning for more than 20 years now. The Vatican gave their orders to stop all, commercial growth and population growth in all the NATO nations, and they've been holding to it. People need to understand that it's very simple to regenerate your health. You've got to start boycotting the products in the supermarkets. Well, nobody's reading the labels. If you go stand in the aisles, Reverend Pinckney, you'll see that 9 out of 10 people will pick up the products without reading the labels. They don't understand the difference between peanut butter that has hydrogenated oils and ones that don't. They don't understand what they're reading, and they're not reading them. They just pick them up, throw them in the basket, take them home, and eat them. They're eating corn syrup that even the FDA says 50%, more than 50% of it has the mercury in it. Now, if you're eating products with corn syrup with mercury in it, what do you think it's doing to your body?
Absolutely. It's destroying your body completely.
Yes. Why do you think so many people have all these mental debilitations? Why do you think they have Parkinson's? Why do you think they have, what did Reagan have? I'm thinking of you have to understand, mercury accumulates in your body. You're eating products with corn syrup in it. Why are people not boycotting corn syrup? They stopped using genetically modified products. 5% of the people in Europe stopped using them, and they had to change it. They won't bring them in the country. They won't allow the genetically modified products into the country, into the countries in Europe. Russia won't allow any of our products from this country. So who's stuck with all the genetically modified products? The United States citizens are stuck with them.
You see,
the United States is the biggest target. In order to get the New World Order brought in by the elitists, the United States are the ones that have the guns. The rest of the countries don't have guns like the United States. They have to get rid of the guns. That's why they do false flag operations like the Boston bombing. That was all false, done by actors. If you study it, you'll see the Sandy Hook school shooting. That school was closed down long before they ever had the actors come in there and do that false flag operation. There's a new... I'm constantly exploring, and I find news articles, and they're sent to me all the time. A man was head of security and was he was in law enforcement for 35 years, and head of school security, started asking questions on the Freedom of Information Act in Connecticut, and they came to his house, two undercover detectives, and threatened him that they're going to go after him, Connecticut, and sue him and destroy him. And all he was doing was following the law properly. They told him, you better get a lawyer. He says, I don't need a lawyer. Mm. He said, I know. He says, I've been doing everything legally, asking for the information. I want to know why they sent the children back into the classrooms, ordered them back into the classrooms where the children were shot when they went into the schools. Why did they park so far away? All these questions, this is a brand new video that just came out, and I've seen them all. And there's no question about it. They're all false flag operations. Everything is to make the people cower down. They want them to give up their guns, because unless they give up their guns, they're going to have a hard time really subduing this nation.
Absolutely. And, you know, here in Benton Harbor, they got this buyback gun thing, and I'm against it. Like I told them, hey, you know what you're doing? You're stripping of the people of the only weapons they got. Most of them are just cap guns, 45s or whatever it might be. But that's, you know, it's something that's better than nothing, especially against this army who got tanks and everything else.
Yes, but they don't have as, you know, you got 300 million people in this country. And if you had even 10 million, you know, I was looking at some other articles. 55,000 women veterans are homeless right now. 300,000 male veterans are homeless right now. I told my children from the time they were very young, you are never to go to fight in the wars for this country. It is a crying shame what they've done to all of the veterans in this country. I remember my father telling me that they never acknowledged that he was wounded in World War II, and the records in the building, that building that holds all the records for the veterans, burned down 11 different times. The same building.
Wow. Interesting. Hey, listen, you got about 60 seconds to say whatever you want, and I got to move on, Big Edward.
Well, I didn't talk about what I normally talk about. I want to help people reverse whatever type of dysfunctional health that they have. I have great knowledge. I learned from great men. Give me a call at 818-613-9206, 818-613-9206, and I'll show you how to reverse most of the illnesses that you have. I don't care if it's stage 4 cancer. Just don't go for the chemotherapy and radiation. Talk to me. I'll show you how to reverse it. I'll show you files that prove that you don't want to do what my mother did, get chemotherapy and radiation. She drew her last breath when I was 15. I want people to know the truth. Only the truth can set you free from all the lies and ignorance that are being perpetrated on us.
Absolutely, absolutely, Edward. Listen, I got to move on, Edward. Thank you so much, and you know, people need to be start calling you, find out what you got there. You know what I'm saying?
Believe me, I help a lot of people, and they thank me for it.
Absolutely, I believe that too. Listen, I got to move on. I got to bring on Mary. Mary, are you there?
I am here, Reverend Pinckney, and what a beautiful Sunday we're having in Georgia. I want to ask you, did you do the demonstration on March 1st?
No, we did not. It was too cold here.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah,
well,
we were talking about zero weather yesterday.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, what we did, we changed the date to May 24th to join in with our major rally.
Okay, so you're going to protest the police department at your PGA rally.
Absolutely. Matter of fact, we're going to
marvel.
Yes, absolutely. Because then we have more people and everything to be much better. People be willing to work and the weather be better.
Oh, that's right. You know, weather matters to marches and demonstrations, and we understand that a lot of people cannot get out in bad weather because they're so poor, their coats are too thin.
Mm-hmm.
Their shoes are not the right ones for the weather. And so, you know, the thing is that where you've got a whole area living beneath the poverty level, there are many things that would keep people from being able to come out to demonstrations in the wintertime. It may seem like they're being callous and don't care, but the truth is a lot of people have little children that they cannot afford babysitters for. A lot of people who are living in poverty in Benton Harbor, Michigan, cannot get out in the wintertime to protest injustice like
mm-hmm.
they would be able to do in May. So what day is your PGA rally?
It's May 24th, and we're going to start at City Hall, 200 Wall Street. We'll be there at 11 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, well, that's marvelous.
Absolutely. Matter of fact,
you
can go to BA Banco and it'll tell you the whole story.
Okay. Look on BH Banco for your May 24th rally.
Absolutely. 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 Because what we're doing now, also, we're protesting the murders of five young men here in the city of Benton Harbor, especially the man who had his penis cut off. So we're definitely on top of that. And we want to let them know that, you know, that we're alive and well. And I know it's open season for black folks, so we're going to show them what we're capable of doing. It's going to be interesting because they're going to do everything they can to stop us. They're going to do everything. Just like rather than investigate all these dead bodies, they out investigating signatures for the recall of the mayor. You see, so we definitely got our hands full, and we're at war. See, people got to think about this. We're at war, Mary. This is a war that we're fighting, and all we're doing, we're dying. We're dying in this war because we're not fighting back.
I just read about the USDOJ is going to investigate the murder of this young man who died in Texas. Now, his body was also mutilated. His neck was cut. His ear was cut off, and I'm not sure whether he had his penis intact or his other organs, but the USDOJ is going to investigate it. I think that his death was found by the local police to be no foul play. You see,
absolutely.
This is happening throughout the country, that black people, especially our young men, are turning up dead, and when they are killed by police officers or when they are killed by even whites who are not in the police department, we find that their deaths are not given proper attention by the authorities who say it's no foul play, or they say it was suicide, or they say anything, even if the people have been mutilated, have body parts missing, have organs missing, surgically cut out, they still will not give those deaths the proper investigation. And that is because, frankly, sir, as Michael Jackson said, they don't care about us.
Mm.
And so this is going on in Benton Harbor. And I want you to know, sir, that it is not only something that is limited to black people now. They are also very callous about white people who do not have wealth. I read this week about about Cameron Todd Willingham. He was executed in Texas in 2004 for the arson murders of his three little children. And it was on the governor's desk before the man died that the arson report was faulty. The science that the arson report was based on was faulty. In fact, one man was released from prison because the science that was used in those arson reports was faulty. But Cameron Todd Willingham was executed. And primarily, the state said, well, he still would have been executed off the word of jailhouse snitch who said that he told him he had done this crime. The jailhouse snitch was Mr. Webb. Mr. Webb recanted his testimony before Willingham's execution, but they still executed this young white man for killing his three children when really there was no arson and there was no murder. Executed him. And they so far have not exonerated his name. But
it sounds like to me it's a war on people, period.
Oh, it includes poor whites. The Innocence Project recently found a note looking through Willingham's file. They found a note from the prosecutor saying that he had to do something to reduce Webb's charges from first-degree robbery to second-degree robbery in payment for his testimony to the court regarding Willingham. So he had denied all these years that this man Webb was given any incentive to lie on Willingham. He had denied that all these years. And his name is John Jackson. He was the prosecutor. He had ascended to the level of judge, and he's a retired judge now. But when he was a prosecutor, he was the main player in Willingham's wrongful execution. And now they have found a note that proves that Jackson lied, that Jackson had indeed induced Mr. Webb to testify against Willingham with the promise that his own jailhouse charges would be reduced. So since that has happened, the family was named be cleared of those false murder charges. And the cousin said that the family was not going to seek monetary damages for that wrongful death. They just want to clear his name. I think now that's a mistake because you and I know that the justice system does not care about anything as much as they do money. And if the family did seek monetary damages for Willingham's wrongful death, it might, and I say might, make the state of Texas and all the execution states be a little bit more careful about doing hasty and wrongful executions. So I think it's a mistake for the family not to seek monetary damages regarding his exoneration. But we feel like an exoneration is due, and I certainly hope one does come through for Cameron Todd Willingham. And we know that if they do this to white people, there's no telling what they're doing to black people. This was a white young man. So please don't think that being white exempts you from wrongful prosecution and brutal incarceration, because it does not. They really are doing everybody now, nobody as much as they are black people, but they are doing very wrong things to Caucasian as well. And it's time for everybody to unite, get together, and support human rights activists like Reverend Pinckney. Reverend Pinckney does what God says, and that is that we're supposed to speak for the poor. We're supposed to stand up for the oppressed and everyone who is appointed to destruction. And so Reverend Pinckney does that every Sunday. Not only every Sunday, but every day. He's a court watcher. He's a man who goes to meetings with individuals. He's a man who is unafraid because he says he's doing the work of God. He's doing God's will on the earth. And if your minister is not doing anything like that, if he's not available when you have a loved one arrested, if he's not available when a young black man gets killed in your community, if he's not available when a family like the Willingham suffer from wrongful execution, if your minister is not on the front lines of fighting injustice, then your minister is not doing the work of God. Because it's fine to get on radio or television and in front of the pulpit and talk about what Jesus and the disciples did 2,000 years ago. But Jesus said, even greater work shall you do. So if your minister is unavailable to discuss anything wrong that happens in the government, anything wrong that happens in the judiciary, if your minister is unavailable, it's usually because your minister is more concerned with standing good graces of people who are able to give him grits and able to cut him some slack on this and that than he is in doing the word of God. But here you have before you today a man who 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, his phone number is on the internet because he's not trying to hide from people who are having problems. He's trying to work and do the work of God on behalf of people who are having issues. He's trying to stand for the people of Benton Harbor, Michigan, who are greatly oppressed. They're financially oppressed. Their land is being taken by corporations and given to corporations who are building beautiful lakefront property, moving the high school away from the lakefront, and doing all kinds of things. And then we have lakes up there in Michigan. We have lakes where bodies are pulled out of the lake, all out of the lake up there in Michigan near Benton Harbor. And these people are not getting proper investigation for their murders. They're just told that it's no foul play, even when they've been castrated and thrown in the river. We're not going to stand by and watch that, not only in Michigan, but people who are all throughout the country and throughout the world need to be concerned about these offenses, these great offenses, these crimes against humanity that continually happen in Benton Harbor, Michigan. As Reverend Pinckney told us over a year ago, this city has been taken over by an emergency manager, and all of the elected officials that the people elected were laid off. They were put aside. They have no power because the corporations have taken over. And he told us at that time that there were, in fact, 200 emergency managers in training. That is because this new thing of taking over city governments is expected to spread. And if we do nothing about the murders in Benton Harbor, Michigan, if we do nothing about the city manager taking over democratically elected people, if we sit back and do nothing, perhaps because we say, oh, those are black people, we don't care what happens to them. If we do nothing about it, it will come to you. It will spread.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, Mary. Mary, hey, that's wonderful. Well, listen, I got to move on. I got to go to my TIs now because my TIs, I know they're getting nervous. You know, they ready to roll. So, listen, Mary, I got to let you go, but I really appreciate you. But it's that time again. It's my TI time. So, listen. You
all right, Reverend.
Yourself.
Thank you. God bless you.
And stay strong.
Thank
all
you.
Right, all right. It's that time now. It's time for the TIs, the targeted individuals, people who have been targeted by our governor. I know people walk around here don't believe that your governor will try to control your mind, mind control. I know you'll never believe it. I know you wouldn't believe that your governor will intentionally try to destroy you and your family, try to destroy you. Yeah, I know. This is your government. But I'm here to tell you that they will do anything. Everybody is expendable. Everybody. Doesn't make a difference who you are, what you are. You are expendable to this governor. But at this time, I'm going to bring on my good friend, my guy, the man of the moment, the John Brown, Ken Rose. Ken Rose, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend Pinckney. How you doing today?
Doing great. Ken, how you doing today?
Oh, not too bad, not the same as ever. What I'd like to talk about today, that actually most people don't even know, in 1933 the USA was bankrupt and it became the U.S. Incorporated, and we're all listed as enemy of the state. And they're still going right to this day for divide and conquer between the blacks and the whites. They're not worried about the rest of them. They'll kill them later anyway. But it doesn't matter what color you are. They want us all dead. They want everybody dead. And what gets me, being a TI, that if me and you were standing in your front yard and we seen a guy shoot somebody across the street, the police would come out, we'd make our statement, they'd go arrest that guy. But yeah, you got thousands of TIs telling everybody what's going on, and we can't even get into a court, we can't get a lawyer, so our word's no good. So you tell me what's wrong with our system, because we don't have a system. It was designed for the corporations, not us.
Mm-hmm.
A good thing, everybody should go to StopTheCrime.net, and Deborah's got a lot of good information. Every American should go, because we're not the first people in the world that's built our own prisons so they can put us in them. You know, they're going to build the prisons. They got 1,000 of these FEMA prison camps already built for it. And they're not all just for TIs. They're for every one of us. They want to put you in it, use you up, and kill you later, just like Germany did. And then you get into the voice of God. They call it voice of God. These people are evil. You know, you had women in Texas. She drove her car off into a lake and killed 3 kids a few years ago. She said God told her in her head to do that. What do you think she was getting? There's another woman killed, I think, 5 kids in her bathtub because God told her in her head to do it. These Americans better wake up and understand what's going on, because this is getting more and more evil every day. I mean, they're coming for everything. They want our money. And all these people, we got all of our money and we think we're going to retire. I don't care if you got $1 million or $5 million or $10 million. They're going to come after your money, but they want your money before they totally take over this new world order. So everybody out there don't believe the TIs. I don't care if you believe me or not. They're more than likely you're already a TI. A lot of people are doing their dirty work, and you're talking about getting the churches to do something. I guess if you had a few $1 million, you could go pay these evil people off, and maybe they join your side, because that's what they're doing now. They all belong to the clergy response team. That means you tell your sheep and your church whatever you want them to do, and they do it. Most people in America today don't want to think for themselves. They want somebody else to think for them. So as long as you're in that mode, you're going to be all right. They're going to kill you too. So after that, I'm on a rant today, so I'll give up here and let somebody else come on.
Is it your rant?
I'm on a rant today because this here is just getting worse and worse and worse. And do I see an end to it? I think what they're doing, the target individual, is getting ready to come out, because I don't think they can hide this mind control much longer. Even though I do think it's working quite well, if you look at the average American, they just going around and all it. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
You go around, they got their head buried in a cell phone, you tell them good morning, they act like they didn't even know you walked by them. So
yeah, and you know, that's just another form of control. That's what that is. So
yeah,
we know how that is, Ken. Listen, Ken, you got 30 seconds to say whatever you want. Say something.
Keep drinking your fluoride and your water and taking your dope pills that they're giving you so you can sleep at night and watch your football games. You'll be all right. Thank
that
you,
sound
Reverend.
Like the
Thank you, Reverend.
Talking. All right. All right, Ken. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. Yes,
all
thank you.
All right. Hey, man, I tell you, you know, just being thinking about someone being a TI, being targeted by this government is really something. But I tell you, we have to come together and fight this monster, and we got to do it as a team. We got to do it because, like I said, there's over 300 million of us, so I know that we can win this war. But listen, I'm going to bring on my good friend Gloria. Gloria, are you there? Gloria, are you there? Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, there you go. How you doing, Gloria?
Well, it's been trying, Reverend Pinckney, but I'm still here.
Oh, well, you know, I know that voice, Gloria. When I hear that voice like that, I get happy.
I get happy, too, because I'm able to use my voice.
That's
but
right.
I think what's
right.
starting to happen, Reverend Pinckney, because so many people, they are starting to listen. You know, it doesn't appear that way, but even at the top, I'm going to bring you another piece of the puzzle, and after a while, we'll be able to put this thing together and go, oh. But this is the story I'm going to read today. It's from Straight Talk, at the American Free Press. The NSA top dog admits war on terror a failure. Appearing late January before the Senate Intelligence Committee, Director of National Intelligence James Clapper testified that he could not say the threat from terrorism is any less today than it was 10 years ago. It was a shocking admission. Does he mean that the trillions of dollars spent fighting the war on terrorism have resulted in no gains? That those who urged us to give up some of our liberties to gain security, to have, as Benjamin Franklin warned, lost both? There may be reasons Clapper would want us to believe that the threat from terrorism is as strong as ever. An entire industry has arisen from the government's war on terror, and for both the government sector and the security industrial complex, the terrorist threat is big business. Economic pressure has thus far not affected the military or intelligence sectors, despite false claims that the sequestration cut millions of military spending. However, emphasizing continued high threat levels without being able to openly explain them due to secrecy requirements is one way to keep the security budget untouched. Also, emphasizing the continued high threat level from terrorists overseas is a good way to frighten citizens away from their increasing outrage over the reports of massive domestic spying by the National Security Agency. Unfortunately, Americans may still be more willing to give up their liberties if they are told that the threats to their security remain as high as ever. What if Clapper is telling the truth, however? What would this revelation mean if this was the case? For one, it means that we have gotten very little for the tremendous amount of spending on the war on terrorism and the lives lost. We are told that the military and intelligence community can protect if they are given the tools they need. But it appears they have not done a very good job by their own admission. More likely, it may mean that the U.S. government's policies are causing more terrorist groups to arise and take the place of those who have been defeated by U.S. drone and military attacks. Clapper does mention that there are so many different Al-Qaeda franchises popping up, it is difficult to keep track of them all, much less defeat them. But why is that? A former State Department official stated in 2012 that every new drone strike in Yemen that kills innocent people results in the creation of 40 to 60 new enemies for the United States. Likewise, Malala Yousafzai, the young girl from Pakistan, who had been brutally shot by the Taliban for her desire to go to school, told President Barack Obama during a White House meeting in October 2013 that drone attacks are fueling terrorism. Innocent victims are killed in these acts, and they lead to resentment among the Pakistani. Are there more terrorist groups out there because our policies keep creating new ones? At one point, Clapper said that the Senate in Syria, the terrorist-affiliated al-Nusra Front, does have aspirations for attacks on the homeland. It is all the more disturbing, then, to have also read in late January that Congress voted in secret to resume sending weapons to the Syrian rebels who are dominated by terrorist-affiliated groups. We have read about U.S.-supplied weapons meant for moderates in Syria being seized by radicals on several occasions, and the Voice of America reported in 2013 that our Saudi allies are arming the same Al-Nusra Front that Clapper identifies as the threat to the U.S., and Congress arming the very people who will commit the next attack on U.S. soil? Why is terrorism as much of a threat as it was 10 years ago? After 10 years of no progress, it is time to try something new. Is it not time to try something, some new invention and a strong defense rather than drone strikes and preemptive attacks? Thank you for listening.
All right. Thank you so much, Gloria. Gloria, I want to ask you one question. Tell me some of the symptoms of being a TI.
Some of the systems?
No, symptoms.
Oh, symptoms. Symptoms of being a TI. Well,
mm-hmm.
is sleepless nights, achy muscles. Now, mine, I have a housekeeping service, so I have to be up and at it. When I leave my home, sometimes by myself, I can clean two houses a day. But it is something when I come into my home, the electromagnetic field in here is not good for my body. It drains me. I feel like my battery is being drained. I'll wake up in the morning sometimes, and you go take a shower, and you're like, ow, what is this? I looked down at my leg. I had a number 7 carved in my skin. I have a lot of, burn marks on my body. They must come through the night. Sometimes during the day I can feel the pressure of, the soreness of your skin. And I don't look at it. I refuse to look at it at that time. And before you know it, they have placed a letter or a number or some type of symbol in your skin. So it's a variety of things. There's something called Morgellons disease that has fibers and like little tiny worms in your up under your skin. It's you name it, you got it.
Wow, that's
disease
that's
out here. They can mimic anything into your body. So sometimes as a TI, what you have to do, you have to talk to yourself. Say, hey, I know this isn't real, so I'm not going to accept this fake engineering. And you keep moving because they have a way of, you know, it's mind over matter. So what you do is you free your mind of it immediately and you keep going and they can't keep you in their stronghold. So we're out to break the stronghold. But Reverend Pinkney, I can give you 20 symptoms. Someone else can give you 20 different symptoms. So we could write a book.
All right. I just wanted people to understand exactly what it was. Hey, appreciate you, girl. And listen, you take care and have a real beautiful day. And we'll talk soon.
All right.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Adrian, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How you doing today?
I'm hanging in there. You know, I'm
all
just
right,
still waiting,
all right.
you know,
sound
for our
good.
Meeting.
Yeah,
and,
you sound good, young lady.
How are you?
Hey, I'm excellent. Just taking it one day at a time.
Okay. What I did want to say is that when you all talk about the, the court or the prosecutor or whoever investigates a case,
mm-hmm.
Just because they say that they investigate a case don't mean that they did an investigation or it doesn't mean that they did a proper investigation because there's many forms of investigations that you can do dealing with crime. And
absolutely.
I had found out dealing with my case that that's what they did with my case. They would say that they investigated the case even when I was in Benton Harbor and they ended up taking our dogs from us back in 2002. And even with the children dealing with the sexual abuse of their father, Dr. Tynes, and they would say, we didn't have any substantiation or anything. They don't investigate, and that's what I had found out with Wayne County and Berrien County when I was in the Benton Harbor court system out there. And then when I would confront them with and ask them, what type of investigation did you do, they would get upset. Well, if you did an investigation, there's no reason for you to get upset. You can tell the person what type that you did. Did you just do what, you know, talking to someone, or did you do a deep, thorough investigation? In a lot of cases, take and require for them to do a deep and thorough investigation. Because even when I had spoke to a supervisor, a state trooper who had so-called investigated our case dealing with the child sexual abuse, and I caught them in so many lies, I had had to file was a complaint against the two FBI agents in Detroit, Carl Hoff and Dave Harmon. Dave Harmon deals with public corruption, that deal with judges that do corruption, and even deal with, like, my ex-husband, doctors. And when I had, like, stack of documentation, more than what you even seen, his attitude, the guy who dealt with public corruption, the FBI agent, Dave Harmon, he ignored it, and he was trying to justify that, well, people get bitter when they lose out. And I said, I have evidence right here stacked right before you, and you're refusing to look into it. So, you know, he was trying to justify to me just to ignore what was going on. And the other FBI agent, Carl Hoff, who was much younger, he had told me, he said, well, we're not going to use everything that the FBI can use to go after this judge, Chief Judge Virgil Smith, and your ex-husband, who's a doctor. And I said, why wouldn't you, when it's dealing with corruption in the court and people not getting treated fairly and child rape? And I'm pretty sure my case isn't the only case that these people, professional people on the case who have my ex-husband have influence with, you know, have did wrong. It's many families that they have wronged and, you know, and crossed. And even though Judge Virgil Smith is no longer the chief over Wayne County, he's still back in juvenile court. He's the chief. And for many years, he didn't have, you know, oath of office. And he, even when he forced my kids to go live with their father in St. Joseph, Michigan from Wayne County, he refused to allow any other, you know, office, even in, what is it, Benton, however, Barron County, where the court system is at, to get involved, because he did not want anybody to get involved to supersede what he, you know, to find out that he wasn't doing his job. And that was a, when you do that, he was operating out of his jurisdiction, and that was a void ruling. And even one of my attorneys had told the judge, he said, you have no authority to put these kids back within the divorces in Barron County, Benton Harbor, Michigan. And so, and I mean, if you don't have people there to know what they're doing, or attorneys or advocates, people need advocacy, and they need true advocacy when they go into court, you know, because they, you know, a lot of talk what the lawyers do, and, you know, whoever you're coming up against dealing with what's going on, they don't really understand the, you know, the wording or a lot of times what's going on in court, and they, you know, they clearly get messed over. And it was a show, I think it was last year or year before last, that came on. They had several judges. One of the judges they had was Sandra, I think, Day O'Connor, and they were talking about corruption, and she came out and said herself, she was a Supreme Court judge, U.S., and she has said that she is totally aware of how if someone has money or influence, a judge will clearly work with the person that has money and influence over the party that may have, you know, evidence against the individual that's harming them and doing the wrong. And the judge will go with the person that has money and influence and connections. And this came from the Supreme Court Judge Sandra Day O'Connor. She stated this. So they are aware of that corruption is going on, and unless we, you know, train people how to be a good advocate when they go into court, you know, it's going to continue to go on, and people a lot of times get screwed over because they don't know how to fight, you know, back in the system.
Absolutely, absolutely, and you know that's amazing. Hey, I remember when they took your dogs and stuff like that. What was that all about?
What happened was with that, they didn't want, you know, they didn't want us in St. Joseph, Michigan, period.
No,
and
absolutely
we wanted
not.
The, you know, family of color there. And then what happened with that, somebody they had stated that had opened our gate while we were gone, let the dogs out, and then the lady named Miss Werger, who was well known for being a racist there, because one of the veterinarians, the lady came in and testified, and she had said, I was, you know, as a child, I seen how she behaved, and she was, you know, racist back then. And this woman, I would witness her out of our window coming on our property, our land, hitting our gates, telling our dogs to shut up. People would come up there and harass our dogs. We got harassed a lot being out there, and my cousin was at work. And what had happened was this lady had said our dog bit her on our property, and then the police officer told us that also. Then they lied and said dogs bit her off of the property. And then I had found out, you know, when I went in through the court system, they put the blame on me. And she had said to me, winking her eye, she said, all you had to do is settle out with your insurance and we wouldn't have to come into court. So I got convicted of dog stray, you know, and they really just did me really dirty and took our dog. And the attorney that I had said, we had found out a lot that they were doing. They got caught in a lot of lies. The lady had said she went to the hospital out there, and the doctor was getting ready to examine her. She rejected the doctor from examining her and asked for her physician assistant friend to examine her. She brought a picture into court that didn't show her face or anything. And my ex-husband has said normally when a hospital take a picture of an injury, because she said the hospital took the picture, it's attached to the chart, and there's no way in the world that they were allowed to be separate. That I was lied on with that. And my ex-husband knew that's how they behaved out there because his cousin Steve had told me. And that was my ex-husband's way of actually manipulating things to, you know, to create some type of legal situation against me. But I wasn't aware of the corruption that was going on in Berrien County, you know, and how they treated people. But I had won an appeal for my case, and the attorney that I had hired didn't show up into court, and I was telling the judge how they were giving me criminal cases for a civil criminal numbers for a civil case, and one of the attorneys that ended up becoming my ex-husband divorce attorney, Pat Pierce, she had said they were supposed to throw this out of court, you know, this case out of court. They don't have enough evidence. It was just so much lies that went on clearly where they should have threw the case, and they didn't. It was just this lady ended up lying, setting, you know, our dogs up, because even the vet technician had said, you know, normally when you put dogs in a cage, that brings out their violent nature. She said these dogs don't behave violent. They don't act aggressive or anything, even when they're put in a cage. So, and I mean, it was just a lot of corruption from there that they did injustice with me with that case.
Wow, I remember how that turned out. That was you know, pretty shocking, you know, just to even to think about it. And then,
here is
a whole different world.
I was even trying to reach you. And the commissioner, when they came into court to, you know, to be a support to me, I forget the female judge name, she had said no one is allowed in this courtroom. This is a closed case hearing.
Was she black or white?
Not a closed hearing. We are allowed to come in here. She didn't want them in there. They doctored and tampered with the transcripts like they did in the case with my children in Wayne County. And then the guy who was the head of the race coalition, Scott Elliott, he had told me and Donald when we went over to his house, he said he saw the prosecutor, Art Carter, who was the prosecutor who prosecuted me, dealing with our dog stray criminally, he prosecuted me. And he had said, and it was also, the vet, the guy who worked at animal control. He worked there. It was a guy, it was the police officer. The guy who was the head of the race coalition, Scott Elliott, he said he saw them like in the wooded part in the area in Benton Harbor shooting at stray dogs. He said a year before that the incident happened to our dogs, and then when he looked at them and told them, hey, stop, you know, because they were trying to kill the stray dogs by shooting at them, and he said they turned the guns on him. Prosecutor Art Carter, the police officer that was involved, and all these people were involved with my case the next year. And then the guy who was a part of animal control, and the lady, the head person, Val Grimes, that was over animal control, I guess she was the supervisor. She had to confront the guy who took our animals in animal control because he was caught prodding and poking, like sticking sticks to try to provoke our dogs to become violent. And his supervisor looked at him, Val Grimes, and she said, every time I go back there with those dogs, they're gentle. They're not violent. They're aggressive. Because he said, oh, yeah, they were aggressive. They tried to charge me. And I said, that's not our dogs. We had our dogs in Detroit for 7 years, and that's the inner city. You know, so it was a lot of illegal and corrupt stuff going on there with them where, I mean, it was easy to prove that they were lying. That's why I won an appeal. But the judge, even after I won an appeal, my attorney never showed up, and they were able to manipulate the case somehow just to, you know, end up letting the case go.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, listen,
so that's why whenever they say that they're going to, whenever you say, I want you to investigate a case, you got to have somebody following up to see exactly what they're doing, because they can easily say, we investigated the case. That's what they did to me in Detroit, the deputy mayor Adams that was under Kwame when I went to him. And he told me, okay, well, I have the police department investigating. And then when I ran into him again, he's married to a judge down at the courthouse, I asked him, I said, well, what's the outcome of the investigation? He said, I'm not at liberty to tell you. And I said, I'm the one that asked you to investigate this. And he said, well, I'm not at liberty to tell you. And I said it again, and then when I wouldn't let up, he said, well, meet me at my office. I went to his office. He never showed up. And this is the stuff that normally goes on. When I question them about what kind of investigation did you do, because you didn't do this, you didn't do that, so and this is required to, you know, this is the type of investigation that's required for a case like this, and you didn't do either of these, and you lying to, they lied to Ann Arbor when they, the judge, Mark Slavin, sent the case to be investigated in Ann Arbor, dealing with my children, and the supervisor, Rod Williams, the state trooper, he said, Detroit stated they investigated your case already. I said, no, they did not. They lied about that. And he said, I said, what is the protocol? And then he went and told me. I said, they didn't do either one of those things. He said, a supplemental investigation. And he said, and they went based on their doing the SIB, a supplemental investigation, and at no time did they ever do a proper nor thorough investigation, not even when the children were in St. Joseph, you know, living with their father, complaining about still getting abused. And the therapist, Dr. Wanda Huggett, told Judge Kim Smith, and she was exposed by Channel 7 News last year for how she was a part of, you know, taking kids illegally. That was one of the judges on my case because I had Virgil Smith and Kim Smith removed off of my case because of corruption and them knowing my ex-husband. And
we just about ran out of time for you. If you got about 60 seconds, say what you want, then I'm going to bring on my good friend Elvira. Go ahead. 60 seconds. That's it.
It's just Dr. Wanda Huggett has stated Judge Kim Smith had more than enough evidence to keep my kids from their father after they were sharing, and the evidence was presented with the sexual assaults that he did, and it was all ignored. That's why I need to get exposure and talk to some, you know, like how we said we were going to talk to the individual to get this addressed.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, well, we're going to be working on that, and we're going to see what we can do to get things rolling or something, because I think that's important.
All right, thank you.
All right. Well, listen, we'll talk soon. All right. Elvira, are you there? Elvira, are you there? Elvira, are you there? All right. Roz, are you there?
Yes, I am, and I'm blessed to be here.
How you doing today, Roz?
Well, I slipped. I get a little dizzy and nauseous from being sprayed with the toxic chemicals, so I slipped, but thank God I didn't break anything.
Hey,
so
that's
I'm
a blessing all by itself.
Right, but Monday night, Dr. Deasy, the superintendent of LAUSD, is going to be here in the Valley at Portola Middle School, and I'm asking that everybody go protest, parents, students, concerned citizens, taxpayers. They need to go and say that this should stop. Killing injured teachers is a sin and disgusting and unconscionable, but for a school district to keep doing this is disgusting. And our taxpayers' money is paying for this.
Absolutely, absolutely. How did the election turn out?
I don't think they voted yet. I don't think I'm able to vote. I don't know why, but I saw in the LA Sub e-blast almost every day they have Warren Fletcher running for president again. So I wrote an email, which I sent out last night, that if you vote the same, you get the same. And it was time to vote for other people, and people to stand up. The 26,000-plus teachers need to stand up and say they've had enough of this.
Absolutely.
And they don't see
How is David Garcia doing?
I don't know. I haven't heard from David, but I was looking there, and I was going to tell him that he should put his information on the L.A. Sub e-blast, so I don't know.
You need to do something if you plan on you got to use all your tools out there.
Right, because he's not going to win. It's going to be Warren again. They're all in bed together. All kinds of deals. The union.
I don't see how those teachers can vote for him. He do exactly nothing.
No. You mean David?
No, I'm talking about Warren Fletcher.
Warren Fletcher
don't do anything. He's just there.
Right, he's just there. When the teachers are in teacher jail, older teachers on trumped-up charges, he does nothing. All of a sudden, he realized they were in teacher jail, so I've heard that they're protesting different places, so I knew it was election time. My case, where they spent $16,000 to Dr. Stahlberg, they paid to write a bogus medical report, he did nothing. He doesn't do anything. He doesn't care that they are not paying injured teachers properly as the state requires by law. The state requires that injured teachers to cure or alleviate their condition. And the school district doesn't do it. They divert the money to other funds. Don Watkins, the director of integrated management, and David Holmquist, the general counsel of LAUSD, diverts the money into the sweet deals of LAUSD. That means, as everybody out there knows, if you don't treat something and take care of it immediately, many times a person will die. And that's the business that LAUSD's in. At the same time, LAUSD is a school district that can't get the paperwork in for different things that are needed where they will get money from the state or the federal government. They're absolutely incompetent. So let me repeat. LAUSD, under the direction of Don Watkins, the Director of Integrated Management, David Holmquist, the general counsel of the school district, their policy is to kill off injured teachers to save money. And Charles Smith is dead. It is documented. And somehow the school district doesn't care if they pay for bogus medical reports, they pay their outside doctors, which they have a whole stable of them, a lot of money to misrepresent the facts in injured workers' cases, or deals with judges. My judge made a medical diagnosis and changed the facts. He lost 30 pages of my testimony when it went up for the appeal. He made a medical diagnosis and changed all the facts. He's not even a doctor. LAUSD pays everybody but does not follow the law, does not take care of the injured person, and lets the injured teacher die. They don't care how much they spend to kill off a teacher, as they say they're saving money. I find it unconscionable. I find it appalling. I can't believe we're in America. As the other guests have been talking about, the corruption is just throughout the court system. And if everybody does not come together, whatever color you are, whatever religion you are, we all need to come together in love and standing together because we don't have an America anymore.
Mm.
If you saw the Russian showers, how they talked about them as a joke, because I was in Russia with the cracked walls, the rooms were bugged, the shower curtains that don't close, the window curtains that don't close. This is what Obama wants for all of us. I don't want it. I've been there. I've lived through it. We need to stand up. It's enough already. We gave Iran $7 million, a million or billion to build the bomb. I mean, we are nuts today. What's going on here? We used to have an America. We need to take back our country. We need to take it back for our children so they have a wonderful education, all of them, no matter what color they are, no matter what ethnic group they are, no matter what socioeconomic circumstances they come from. We need to bless them with a wonderful education because we will be blessed back.
Absolutely. When do you go to court?
I go to court on March 18th at 8:30 in the morning.
Okay, you going to be ready?
I'm going to be ready. They're bringing back Judge Cohn from his stroke. What do we call that, a resurrection? So he said, God is with me. I will keep
speaking. Yeah, absolutely. He had a stroke since he messed you up a little bit, huh?
Yes, he had the stroke. He's been out for months, but they're bringing him back to be the judge. He was like he was
being
senile.
The judge or be a witness.
What?
I thought he was going to be a witness, not the judge.
No, Judge Gerald Cohn will be sitting on the case again. He's been out for months with the stroke.
Oh, I thought that he was going to be a witness. I didn't know he was going to be presiding over the case.
Right. Well, he is a witness because he writes it all up and he changes the facts two or three times. It's like to me he's senile or he has Alzheimer's, but somehow he says the most outrageous, vile things about me. And then he loses 30 pages of my testimony, says my witnesses don't like me. I mean, it's like a reality show. It's so sick.
Wow, he's definitely not going to get the Judge of the Year award, will he?
Well, he got an award for the Stanley Moss Legacy of, I would like to say, Law Award, but he did get an award. And hopefully he is not the caliber of workers' comp judges at all. And I was writing to the Ethics Committee and all the judges that did my second appeal and tell them I'm writing a book, and I would like them to understand for my readers of my book the decisions that they made.
Very interesting. Well, at least they'll get a mouthful if they talk to you. I think the 18th is going to be a big day for you.
I'm going to believe that. I'm going to believe for victory. I'm a very positive person. I don't care what's happening. I've made it out as a hostage out of Iran in 78. I have lived through all this. I'm still in my house by the grace of God. He brought me to you, that you are so incredible for all of us. I thank God for you, Reverend Pinkney.
Hey, well, thank you for even saying that. You know how we get. That's a beautiful statement. I tell you, Rod, it's amazing. But, hey, but this time I think the thing's going to be a little different. I think after you had that stroke, I think that might change his way of thinking.
Right? He's going to be rational. He's not going to write lies.
Yeah, well, he almost has. He's getting close to death. When you're close to death, you want to do right.
Right.
You know how they say when you're close to death, you want to do right? I think that's what it's going to be like with him.
Right. He's going to straighten it up already. That's what we're going to speak. That's what we're going to answer.
That's right. We're going to speak it, and it's going to happen.
Right, it's going to happen. And if not, by the grace of God, everything is in God's perfect timing. And the longer this goes on, the longer I speak up. And lots of people I know are listening to what I have to say. I've heard from lots of people. We need to pray for the injured. They're so angry. They're so hurt. They can't imagine that the school district is doing this to them. This is across the country. It's just not at LAUSD. It's workers in the state of California that they've killed off to and across the country. So many laws have to be changed. They should just be able to go to their own doctor, an injured worker, take out all the in-between people that they have found to deny everything, which has made a whole cottage industry and a billion-dollar industry with the insurance companies, and just take care of everybody already.
Absolutely.
And stop all the corruption. The people have to stand up. I've had time here to think about this. Everybody must come together and stand up. My elected officials, State Senator Pavley, who only cares about plastic bags and fish. Before her was Julia Brownlee, who did nothing. Nobody cared what I was going through. They said it was a case. But if I have Los Angeles Unified School District that can't follow the law, I don't have a chance in hell of winning.
Absolutely.
Or basing on the substantiated evidence.
Absolutely.
And now we have Pat DeBosnick in office, and we have Senator Padilla, my other state senator, and it's time that they all spoke up and investigated. But we can't LAUSD, we can't think that they'll change. We can't think that our state, our elected officials will change. It's time that we voted these people out or we recalled them, but it's up to us to make the difference because
Absolutely.
We can't wait on.
Absolutely. You are 100% correct. Listen, you got 90 seconds to say whatever you want. I got to bring I want to bring Edward back on so he can talk about that cancer for us. Go right ahead.
Okay, I'm just going to ask everybody for prayer. I'm going to back to court on March 18th. Please pray also for my health that I and also that I get all the home health care. That's why I'm going back because Dr. Stahlberg, who was paid $16,770 for his admitted bogus report, has always said that I needed help. It's just so bizarre, the case. But I do need it. I have lung damage, and I have toxic fibromyalgia. Also, on Monday night, that Dr. Deasy will answer questions, and there will be people there protesting, and that God just opens more doors to get the story out, and people will finally stand up, speak up, and start voting the right way and changing their votes and holding their elected officials responsible for what's happening here because it has to be them. So we need to pray for everybody. Everybody we've heard today we have to pray for. Lynn, we have to pray for a total healing. And for Reverend Pinckney, we have to pray for safety. We have to pray for victory, that God will give him whatever he needs to use because he is just, he's a mentor to all of us. He has just spurred me on to stand up no matter what's happening, and I just really thank God. And without God in the middle of everything, we can't win. We need to put God back into everything.
Absolutely.
So I thank everybody. Hugs and prayers to everybody.
Hey, we're right on point. Thank you so much, Roz. Listen, you have a beautiful day, and I will talk to you soon. Edward,
okay,
I want you to talk about that cure for cancer. Let's talk about it.
You want me to talk about that? Why don't I
first
talk about Roz is having lung problems. Now, asthma, I have two friends that have the worst asthma ever you can ever imagine. One was Herbie, and he couldn't get his driver's license because he would pass out all the time. And he had been working on cars, grinding them, cutting them up, and wasn't able to work on them any longer. I introduced him to the doctor, that one of the most brilliant chemists alive, that was introduced to me by a journalist reporting for 35 years on his behalf. He wrote the book Flood Your Body with Oxygen, which is all about all of the biooxidative therapies. P.S., bottom line. Herbie, after introducing him to the doctor who I spent a lot of time with learning and studying at the International Institute of Oxygen Therapies, he now has his driver's license back. Now, I have since learned that when they call things asthma, it's not necessarily asthma, even though they use those inhalers and they have, it could be COPD, it could be scars in the lungs, it can be many other things. We can reverse everything in lung disease. Magnesium travels right into the lungs. When you use the formula that Blass was murdered for, not giving up, he didn't give the formula up to the AMA, otherwise they know, it's called the American Medical Association, but on some radio stations it's the American Moron Association, and Doc Mike's in Chicago, it's the American Murder Association. When he didn't give up the formula in 1967, they murdered him outside his house with two men in black suits with blackjacks. He developed the ozone bonded to different minerals. Magnesium takes the ozone in through the digestive tract and takes it through the arterial system and completely reverses all arterial dysfunctional health. It takes it to the lungs. The magnesium goes right to the lungs. Therefore, I'm able to reverse pneumonia in less than 24 hours in everyone. My son's mother, myself, everybody that I've ever had the privilege to reverse their pneumonia, and the doctors were calling up asking why their patients didn't have tumors in their lungs anymore. Well, they coughed them up just like the pneumonia. If you want to reverse your disease, you first have to understand disease, dis-ease, lack of ease, tension or stress on the body caused by all positive ionic matter. positive ionic matter is toxins, poisons, chemicals, heavy metals, radiation, unwanted bacteria and viruses. You can pull it all out of the body with a magnet that's a negative ionic magnet, calcium bentonite clay. They can go to a website and read all of the testimonials about the calcium bentonite clay, abchealth.info. That's abchealth.info. Put your name and your email address in there, and it will send you back an email to a link to the entire website. Take the time to look over some of the testimonials about all sorts of individuals, including autistic individuals that start talking after one calcium bentonite bath that didn't even talk before, and they don't shut up all night. You have to read this. It's very endearing. There's so many, so much dysfunctional health that's able to be, it's all able. You know what, Reverend Payton? Everything can be reversed, but you have to educate yourself properly. The biooxidative therapies include ozone therapy. I've spoken this before. Why are people living 20 years longer in all the oxygen-rich areas in this country than everywhere else, than in all the cities? Because there is ozone in the air in oxygen-rich areas, and the cities are, it's all used up because of all the pollution, etc. Purifies the planet, it also purifies the body. Now, doctors that I learned from have over a 91% success rate at reverse stage 4 cancer over the last 40 years. Over a 91% success rate. Now, stage 4 cancer, as you know, is where the doctors tell you you have 2 months to live, 4 months to live, 6 months to live, go home, make the best of it. We've already radiated you, given you chemotherapy, and there's nothing more we can do for you, you're through. Well, if they have over a 91% success rate, and I had to find out, you know the type of individual I am. Once my mother drew her last breath when I was 15 years old, in the same year, coincidentally, as Blast, ozone bonded to magnesium, and Dr. Koch was murdered in the same year. He was poisoned to death. As same as love, this is too coincidental to me, okay? I used to cry myself to sleep at age 11, 12, 13 years old, knowing I was going to lose my mother. If you were living in my shoes and you knew back then even that they were lying, and I was told that there were ways to reverse the cancer that have nothing to do with the medical industry, then you'd want to know more. When I did find out more, I investigated more and I learned more. Yes, you can reverse the cancer, but you can't do it with chemotherapy radiation. That's a total fabrication of the truth. The two men that own the chemotherapy companies are taking in $106 billion a year with a B, and they're on the board of directors for 60 years now at Memorial Sloan Kettering Hospital. I have the whistleblower files from Dr. Ralph Morse. And he explained in the 10-page document that's absolutely riveting that they've been blocking laetrile-choline therapy, anything that actually works, they've been blocking. They're slaughtering our brothers and sisters on this planet. And I'm really annoyed, especially with what somebody said on your radio show, how the preachers in this country and the churches have bought into the system, taking all the money from the government, and they're not telling the truth. If these places, these churches, are houses of truth, why aren't they talking about reversing people's dysfunctional health? Why aren't they talking about stopping the foreclosures right in the churches? Why aren't they talking about the truth? Why aren't they talking about all the oppression of the people and how to stand up to the courts and get things straightened out in every temple in this country? The truth is that the body is the temple, and the reason the body is the temple and has to be kept pure and clean is because it houses the highest, holiest experience that this life has to offer. That is the pure love, the vibration, the being that you are. The highest truth of all is you, the living truth, without which there wouldn't be any need for 2 plus 2 equals 4. If you want to reverse your disease, it's very simple to do. You just have to understand what to do. Now, if someone has real extreme situation with cancer, and I've taken dogs that are lying on the floor, loaded with tumors, and they've I've talked people into giving them certain things that would reverse, and we got rid of all the tumors, brought them back to life, got them up off the floor, and I can tell you story after another. Jim Lambert in Texas, he called me and he says, I don't know what to do. The doctor just charged me $400 for cutting the tumor out of the dog's face. It was over its eye, and he wants thousands more to cut the rest of them off. I said, just pack the dog's face with calcium bentonite clay and put it in his water and have him drink it. He said to me he couldn't do that because of the eyes, so he just put it in the water, and they started drinking the water, two large dogs that he had, and they didn't stop drinking the water when they weren't drinking the water before. Since then, he sent me pictures, and he took 150 pounds of that calcium bentonite clay, and he sent me pictures, and the whole, all of the tumors are gone. And I've done this to other dogs. But then Rachel calls me and tells me her 86-year-old mother has tumors all through her midsection of her stomach, and she'd never been sick a day in her life. And I said, I'm sending you a funnel. James Clark introduced me to her. We were on the phone for quite a while. I'll send you the file. Don't let her get the chemotherapy and radiation. Do what I tell you to. I have several different ways that you can reverse all the cancer in her body, and she'll live. Do you want her to live? And she said, yes. She called me back 3 weeks later and said the siblings pressured her into getting the chemotherapy and radiation. She's sorry her mother died. And I can go on with story after story. After people, millions more are going to die from this dreaded disease called cancer. In the very near future, one out of two people will have cancer, okay? If people don't pay attention right now and learn that when they get told that they have cancer, they're going to panic and they're going to rush in for chemotherapy and radiation. It never, ever reversed cancer. It does not extend your life. It shortens your life. And you know what they die from? Pneumonia. I reverse pneumonia in less than 24 hours in everyone. I can teach this to doctors and practitioners. I was just advised by one of my mentors who's much older than me. I'm only going to be 62. One of my mentors, they're working on putting together an international university all over the planet for authentic traditional health care so that people do
not have to rely
on the Rockefellers.
Edward, we're running out of time. So I got it in it right there, and take it from there.
I just wanted
you to talk a little
people
bit about
need
cancer.
To talk
but
to me.
Yes,
sure.
Absolutely. But this is what we want people to know, that it's important that you understand that we have to stand up and fight this monster that's destroying our communities. We have to fight it together. We have to show them there is no justice in our communities anymore. So we have to make sure that we get justice. We have to fight for it, and it's more of us than them. We have to teach them that we're going to do what we need to do and make sure they understand how important it is that we're going to take a stand. They got all kind of weapons, and they want you. They want you to turn in your gun. They got this buyback gun thing going around here. I'm advising people, do not turn in your weapons. Do not turn in your weapons. Not against this monster that's here in this country right now. Because once you turn in your weapons, they're going to surround you and put you in a concentration camp. They don't have no love, no respect, no nothing for you. So if we don't stand together, this is what's going to happen. Until we do that, it's going to continue to be the same thing over and over again. We live in a time where they're willing to investigate signatures rather than investigate a murder. Of a dead man, a man who had his penis cut off, no foul play. A man who was weighed down with weights, no foul play. A man who was beaten to a pulp and thrown in the river, no foul play. So you know exactly where we at. So we must continue to stand up and fight and continue to do the things that we need to do. Let's take this thing to a whole different level. Let's get back here next week and take a stand, because now we have just ran out of time. I will see you all next week, same time, same station. Have a good night, everybody.
There's so much hatred, war, and poverty. Wake up all teachers, come to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach
Thank you. Thank you.